Hello, this is Paula Kaufman with the Journal Republican, reading stories dated November 5th through November 11th, 2020. We'll start with the article headlined Layoffs, Other Cutbacks Loom for Piatran by Steve Hoffman, November 11th. With ridership down 84% and social distancing requirements not likely to end anytime soon, the director of Piatt County Transportation told a county board committee on November 5th that layoffs and service reductions could be on the way. Jamie Tribom told the Transportation Committee that personnel cuts could include 2 to 4 people in January, split between drivers and office staff. As for service reductions, she asked for guidance on whether that should come from the more profitable service contracts or the on-demand public rides that are given. She noted that steady contracts with the Mental Health Center and Head Start are consistent money every month. But, Tribom added, my opinion is it's really, really hard to say no to the public when we are publicly funded. Committee Chairman Dale Latz understood the dilemma, noting that public rides are needed, but are the least profitable end of the service. Tribom said there will likely need to be a balance between decreased on-demand rides and limiting service contracts until ridership can recover. Current hours for Piatran are 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Mondays through Fridays. Ridership between March 30th and October 26th was 5,820 people, compared to 35,288 the same time in 2019. Bus capacity is typically 14 passengers, but is currently cut in half due to COVID-related concerns. Tribom said a decision is not needed immediately, but that it is definitely something that's coming down the pike, possibly in January. She said the service is also considering a sale of a minibus to help its bottom line. Latt said that shutting Piatran's doors until the pandemic eases is not his favorite option, but that is it is not off the table, a last resort. He also suggested talking to state and federal legislators to see if additional funds could be available to get through the pandemic. There's just not an easy answer, that's for sure, added Tribom. She said other funding sources, donations and grants, may be sought to help offset the cost for free senior citizen rides that are offered. Committee member Bob Merle complimented Piatran staff on how they have handled the last several months. I think they've been doing a great job. Every time I see them, they're great, said Merle. One complication in the decision-making process is the fact committee members, Latz and Merle, will not be on the county board come December, meaning new members will need to be appointed after the board organizes sometime in early December. Piatt County records 78 new COVID cases in 4 days by Steve Hoffman, November 11th. Piatt and DeWitt counties recorded a total of 124 new cases of COVID-19 on Friday through Monday, according to the DeWitt-Piatt Bi-County Health Department. There were also 2 new deaths reported, 1 for each county. That brings the number of COVID-related fatalities to 8 in DeWitt County and 5 in Piatt County. Of the new cases, November 6th through 9th, 78 of the 124 were in Piatt County, with 42 of those tied to residents in Monticello. In DeWitt County, Clinton continues to record the majority of cases, with 30 of the 46 new positive tests attributed to that town. We are experiencing the peak number of cases we've seen during this pandemic this week, said local health director Dave Remmert. Remember, cases are spiking locally, statewide, and nationwide. Please refrain from attending events, parties, gatherings. Please don't host such gatherings. Wash your hands frequently. Watch your distance, 6 feet or more. Wear a mask when in public. Protect vulnerable populations. Please test, even when asymptomatic. A breakdown of where the newest cases are attributed. DeWitt County, Clinton, 30. Farmer City, 5. Wapella, 3. Kenny, 3. DeWitt, 1. Weldon, 1. DeLand, 1. Lane, 1. Waynesville, 1. Piatt County, Monticello, 42. Cerro Gordo, 9. Mansfield, 9. Bement, 6. Hammond, 3. Atwood, 3. Whiteheath, 2. Cisco 2, La Place 2. Christmas Express Shop Hop, November 14th. November 11th. Local crafters and vendors will be participating in the Christmas Express Shop Hop from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. on Saturday, November 14th, at multiple locations in Monticello and Bement. Check Facebook for the Christmas Express Shop Hop page for vendors and locations. When attending, please adhere to COVID-19 safety measures of wearing a mask and social distancing. Nursing Home on Lockdown, November 11th. The Piatt County Nursing Home is once again on lockdown after an employee tested positive for COVID-19 on Tuesday. Nursing Home Director Scott Porter said the employee was not involved in direct care with patients. The facility had just started weekly tests of employees through Aegis Labs and is working with that vendor to get all residents tested as well. Results should be known by the end of the week. 5 employees have tested positive at the nursing home in recent months, but there have been no positive tests among residents. Illinois Supreme Court appoints justice to replace Kilbride by Sarah Mansour, Capital News, Illinois, November 10th. Justice Robert Carter says he won't seek election in 2022. Springfield. The highest court in Illinois appointed a new member to its bench on Tuesday. Justice Robert L. Carter, 74, will join the Illinois Supreme Court effective December 8th, according to a news release from the Illinois Supreme Court. Carter will take the seat of Justice Thomas Kilbride, who failed to win at least 60% of the vote in his retention election last week. Kilbride's term is set to end on December 6th. Kilbride, who served on the court for 2 10-year terms, only earned 56.4% of the vote in his district, according to unofficial results. The Illinois Supreme Court voted unanimously to approve Carter's appointment, but Kilbride did not participate in the vote, according to the news release. Carter, who was first elected as a Democrat, will serve until a new justice is elected in November 2022. In the news release, Carter wrote he would not seek to remain on the court when his 2-year appointment ends. I am humbled by the confidence and trust the court has placed in me, as it is the honor and privilege of a lifetime to serve on the Illinois Supreme Court, Justice Carter said. It is a place where I first started my career as a law clerk to Justice Howard Ryan, and it is where I will retire after this 2-year appointment, as I won't seek to run for this seat in 2022. Carter first joined the bench in 1979 when he was appointed as an associate judge in the 13th Judicial Circuit Court, which covers Bureau, Grundy, and LaSalle counties. He was elected as a circuit judge in the 13th Judicial Circuit in 1988 and retained for the seat in 1994 and 2000 before he was appointed to the 3rd District Appellate Court in September 2006. The 3rd District Appellate Court is one of 5 appeal courts in the state that sit directly below the Illinois Supreme Court. The Supreme Court can assign additional circuit or appellate judges temporarily to any district, according to the court's website. Carter's appointment to the 3rd District Appellate Court was extended, typically every 2 years, by the Illinois Supreme Court from 2006 through 2020. He earned his undergraduate degree from the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign in 1968. Carter was drafted to join the U.S. Army after earning his bachelor's degree and was deployed to Vietnam from 1969 to 1970. He was awarded the Army Commendation Medal for his service in Vietnam. After returning from Vietnam, he earned a Master of Arts degree in Public Administration from Sangamon State University, now University of Illinois at Springfield, and a law degree from the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, graduating from both universities in 1974. He was a law clerk to Justice Howard C. Ryan of the Illinois Supreme Court for a year following law school, and he was a lawyer in private practice from 1975 to 1979. Capital News Illinois is a nonprofit, nonpartisan news service covering state government and distributed to more than 400 newspapers statewide. It is funded primarily by the Illinois Press Foundation and the Robert R. McCormick Foundation. Student Election Judges Reflect on Experience by Christy Jankowski, November 10th. Some high schoolers in Cerro Gordo and Bemen stepped up their civic leadership last week to serve as election judges in Piatt County. Journal Republican correspondent Christy Jankowski asked them how it went. Question: why did you decide to become an election judge? Luke Dobson: well, I thought it would be a really good experience because I am not 18 yet, so I haven't been able to go inside and vote before. So it is kind of cool to see how it is done. Riley Brandenburg: I am going to school for political science, so it is kind of in the same playing field. Kind of an interesting experience to be a part of. I am going to Illinois College and then transfer to law school. Haven Daly: I thought the experience would be really cool. I didn't really pay any attention to politics until I got to my government class and thought it would be cool to see how it all goes down. Also, a good opportunity for scholarships and stuff. Curtis Calk: I wanted to see what it was like, but I also wanted to get paid from it because I heard you got paid from it. That's nice. Other than that, it's been interesting so far. I've been handing out ballots, helping people put ballots in the machine, having people sign their name and verify their address and all that, marking off names and sanitizing. Question: would you do it again? Luke Dobson: in the future, I think I would try to do it again. I have had fun so far. Riley Brandenburg: yes, but honestly, next year I will be in college, so may not be possible. But when I'm older, yes, I would do it again. Haven Daly: maybe. I'm not opposed to doing it again. Curtis Calk: yeah, it's not that bad. Question: what did you learn that you did not expect? Luke Dobson: I have learned problem solving as a group. I would say always call back to the county clerk's office if you have any questions to make sure everything is okay. Riley Brandenburg: I definitely learned and understand the voting process a little better because I had never seen an official ballot before today because I'm not 18. So now whenever I go, I will know how to do it a little better. All I know is what has been explained, but never had seen it. Haven Daly: I didn't think there were so many rules, that everything has to be so specific. Even just filling in your bubble has to be perfect. I didn't think it was so specific. Yeah, it's been a really long day, but it's gone by pretty quickly, and it is honestly really cool to see how it's all done. Good experience, especially because I wasn't very familiar with politics. Curtis Calk: 14 hours is a lot. Updated: Kane County Restaurant Loses Appeal Over COVID-19 Restrictions by Sarah Mansour, Capital News, Illinois, November 10th. Springfield: an appeals court has handed down a favorable ruling to Governor J.B. Pritzker in a legal challenge to his administration's restrictions on bars and restaurants to curb the spread of COVID-19. The Second District Appellate Court overruled a Kane County judge's decision to temporarily block Pritzker's indoor dining ban from taking effect at the Foxfire restaurant in Geneva. The state court on Friday decided that Pritzker has the power under state law to issue successive disaster proclamations. In an email, Kevin Nelson, one of Foxfire's attorneys, said his client plans to appeal the ruling to the Illinois Supreme Court, which could accept or decline to hear the case. It is obvious to say that Foxfire is disappointed with the appellate court's decision. Unfortunately, the Second District has decided to play politics rather than applying the statute. This case is about separation of powers, which the appellate court has missed completely. Instead, the justice authoring the opinion misstates law and fact, Nelson wrote in an email. Needless to say, Foxfire will file their appeal to the Supreme Court of Illinois, where they hope justice will be served, against the governor's overreach and for the ability of a local restaurant to continue to pursue its calling safely. A spokesperson for the Illinois Attorney General's office, which represents Pritzker and the State Department of Public Health, said they're pleased with the decision. As the first appellate court to rule on the governor's authority, the Second District agreed that the law clearly gives the governor the authority to issue multiple and successive 30-day disaster proclamations and executive orders. And the governor's authority to respond to the pandemic with executive orders is not limited by the Public Health Act's quarantine and business closure provisions, the spokesperson said in an email. However, The appellate court's order was issued under Supreme Court Rule 23, which means the order cannot be cited as precedent in other cases, with limited exceptions, and applies only to this case. The court dissolved the temporary restraining order and sent the case back to Kane County for further proceedings consistent with this decision. Foxfire filed a lawsuit in response to restrictions imposed last month in Region 8, which includes Kane and DuPage counties. Those restrictions, referred to as Tier 1 mitigations, include banning indoor service at bars and restaurants and limiting capacity of gatherings to the lesser of 25 people or 25% of maximum occupancy. Kane County Judge Kevin Bush's now overruled October 26 decision to grant a temporary restraining order allowed the Foxfire restaurant to ignore those restrictions. On Monday, Pritzker announced that Region 8 will face Tier 2 mitigations beginning on Wednesday, November 11th, as a result of the area's worsening COVID-19 test positivity rate over the past 2 weeks. Tier 2 mitigations impose a gathering cap of 10 individuals rather than 25, and table caps of 6 rather than 10 when eating outside. Foxfire's owners argued the state's prohibition on bars and restaurants from having indoor dining could not be enforced because the State Emergency Management Agency Act only gives the governor the authority to issue a single 30-day disaster proclamation. The owners also maintained that business closures enforced by the state must comply with the guidelines mandated under the state's Department of Public Health Act, and they claim these guidelines were ignored. In reversing Bush's ruling, the appellate court found that nothing in the Emergency Management Agency Act's language precludes the governor from issuing multiple disaster proclamations, each with its own 30-day grant of emergency powers, arising from one ongoing disaster, according to the court's 17-page order. The appellate court also referenced laws passed by the Illinois General Assembly during the spring session regarding the Illinois Emergency Management Agency Act. According to the court, in addition to the clear language of the IEMAA, these statutes all confirm our conclusion that the legislature intended to allow the governor to issue successive disaster proclamations stemming from an ongoing disaster. The appellate court also rejected the argument that restrictions imposed on businesses related to COVID-19 must follow the Illinois Department of Public Health Act's quarantine and closure guidelines. Pritzker's latest executive order did not impact the IDPHA because it did not reference quarantine orders, isolation orders, or the business closure orders, the court wrote in its decision. Obituaries. Susan Diane Cothern, 70, passed away peacefully at home in Woodstock, Illinois, on Tuesday, October 27th. A memorial celebration of her life will be held at a later date. Patricia Jane Bowes passed away at the age of 68 on November 7th in Monticello. Pat asked that donations be made to the Muscular Dystrophy Association in lieu of flowers, in remembrance of her nephew, Tim, who had muscular dystrophy. Edward A. Robeck, 86, of Seymour, passed away on Saturday, November 7th, at the OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center in Urbana. Funeral Mass was celebrated on Thursday, November 10th. There was no visitation. Memorial contributions can be made to the Seymour United Methodist Church or the St. Joseph's Catholic Church, Ivesdale, Illinois. Irma Maxine Curry Joint, age 90, of Cerro Gordo, passed away on Tuesday, November 3rd, at Mason Point Nursing Facility in Sullivan. Charitable donations can be made to the Macon County Humane Society and also to the Hope Welty Public Library of Cerro Gordo. Christmas Village with Local Flavor, by Steve Hoffman, November 11th. Bespoke Gift Company in Monticello has created Monticello Main Street America miniatures. Included are depictions of the Piatt County Courthouse, along with downtown buildings including Bespoke, Bergie's, The Brown Bag, Hartfield Book Company, Prairie Fire, and Main Street Mercantile. Except for the courthouse, buildings are about 4 inches long, 2 inches wide and 3 inches high. Featured: Tractor Supply to open November 14th in Monticello. November 11th. Tractor Supply Company's store in Monticello will officially open on Saturday, November 14th, at 200 West Burnside Road. The rural lifestyle retailer carries essential, everyday products that customers need, like animal feed, pet food and supplies, propane, fencing, garden supplies, home supplies, and more. Additionally, customers can buy online or order online for pickup in the store or through contactless curbside pickup. At Tractor Supply, we understand the value of providing essential needs like pet food, animal feed, and home supplies to our customers in the Monticello community, said Mike Verdon, manager of the Monticello Tractor Supply store. Our team members live the same lifestyle as our customers, and we're excited to supply them with the tools, information, and resources they need to live life on their own terms. The Monticello Tractor Supply aims to provide a one-stop shop for the community, serving farmers, livestock and pet owners, ranchers, part-time and hobby farmers, gardeners, homeowners, tradesmen, and others. Tractor Supply customers will have access to a wide range of products, including all pet and animal feed, propane tanks, cleaning supplies, gloves, trash bags, certain food items, and more. The store will carry top brands such as Purina, Carhartt, Blue Buffalo, and Hobart, as well as products exclusive to Tractor Supply. The company has taken a number of key actions to protect and support customers in Monticello. Increasing inventory supply for essential products such as livestock feed, equine feed, pet food, and other critical consumable items. Adding team member hours in stores and hiring an additional 5,000 people to continue providing legendary customer service and promote safety in stores. Adding a dedicated greeter at every store location to drive awareness of social distancing, monitor the number of customers in store, and provide additional cleaning of key items like carts and registers. Investing in technology through mobile point of sale, same-day, next-day delivery capabilities, and contactless payment options across the entire chain to ensure the safety of customers' shopping experience and provide greater convenience. Conducting additional daily cleanings in stores to maintain a safe shopping environment. Endorsing the CDC's social distancing guidelines to limit exposure to other individuals by marking floors and adding signage to help customers and team members maintain safe distances. Offering contactless curbside delivery for buy online, pick up in stores, orders with a minimum of 2 parking spaces allocated for these services. Customers can call the store phone number once they arrive at the store, and a team member will bring the order to their vehicle. Dedicating an exclusive shopping hour for high-risk customers and seniors 60 and older every Wednesday from 8 to 9 a.m. In addition to supplying dependable products for farm, ranch, and rural customers, company spokesmen say the Monticello Tractor Supply Company values community engagement and will support local animal shelters, area 4-H clubs, and FFA chapters, and more. Customers can also sign up for Tractor Supply's Neighbors Club loyalty program, which will make them eligible to receive member-only offers, birthday offers, personal purchase summaries, and receipt-free returns. During the COVID-19 pandemic, the Monticello Tractor Supply will be open with adjusted hours from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. To learn more about our Tractor Supply Company, visit tractorsupply.com. For additional information on the Neighbors Club program, please visit neighborsclub.com. Middle school sports seasons in flux, November 11th. The IESA Board of Directors met on Monday, November 9th, to address the winter and spring sports schedules after the announcement 2 weeks ago by the governor's office that basketball had been moved to the higher risk category of the Illinois All Sports Policy, and the subsequent announcement by the IHSA that they're planning to move forward with their basketball season as scheduled in November. We're all trying to make decisions without knowing what the future holds. Truly, all we can do is attempt to give direction to our membership based on what we know today, and somehow still plan for the future of the association. Not an easy task, said IESA Director Steve Ensley. The IESA made the following decisions and announcements about middle and junior high school sports. Boys basketball and girls volleyball. Uncertain. Scheduled to start in January. But if the Illinois Department of Public Health does not approve of their start, seasons could be moved. Girls basketball. Scheduled to start March 8th. Already moved from the fall. It would be difficult to move again due to conflicts with other activities. To have girls and boys basketball, girls volleyball, and track and field all in the spring is an almost impossible situation for schools and student athletes. We want students to have an opportunity to play all the activities, but it will be difficult to accomplish this without causing students and schools to choose between activities, said Ensley. Wrestling. Practice may begin April 5th. Matches on April 12th. Regionals, if held, would be on May 29th. Already moved to the spring. Wrestling would be canceled and not rescheduled if it is still categorized as a medium or high-risk activity on April 5th. Track and field, as scheduled in the spring, with hopes of a traditional track and field season. Chess, canceled, mostly due to the high number of players attending IESA tournaments. Fifth graders trek to North State Street to learn about architecture, by Steve Hoffman, November 5th. For an architectural field trip, there may be no better place around than Monticello's historic North State Street. That's where Washington Elementary School social studies teacher Angie O'Brien took her fifth grade classes recently. We had been learning about the elements of culture, one of which is architecture, said O'Brien. I researched the history of many homes in our North State Street Historic District and took our students on a walk to share my findings and allow them to look at the home's architectural features more closely. As we strolled along admiring these unique homes, I shared their history, architectural styles, and family stories. It did not take long for proud owners to add to her curriculum. We had two residents step outside to add more information to the history behind their home, added O'Brien. Chris Corey, who resides at 412 North State Street, shared with us that a candy shop called Priestley Candy existed in the brick carriage house that now houses his art class shop. This candy shop made saltwater taffy and peanut brittle that was sold all over the world. Corey, a former Monticello mayor, also pointed out that the candy maker was also mayor at one point. Another property owner shared with students that the reason there are two front doors to her home is that a doctor ran his practice from one side of the home and lived on the other side. Both shared fascinating details I had not discovered in my research, said O'Brien. Well, I'm afraid that we've run out of time today. This has been Paula Kaufman with the Journal Republican, reading stories from November 5th through November 11th, 2020. Please stay healthy. I look forward to reading with you again soon.